And when you found it, you can say amen, and I'll know that you're there. We're going to read all 20 verses this morning, but Galatians chapter 2 and in verse number 20. And I'm going to preach this morning on the truth of the gospel, the truth of the gospel. You know, it's amazing to me how many people don't even know what the gospel is. And it's amazing to me how many people that have a complete misunderstanding of what it takes to be saved and to go to heaven. They say, well, you know, anyone who has any belief in any God is going to heaven. That's just not true, because the Bible says the devils believe and tremble. The devil knows that God is real firsthand. He's spoken to him in person, and yet he has not believed. And again, there are a lot of people that have all kind of religion, but they have no relationship with the God of heaven. And there's a big difference between those two things. And in Galatians chapter number 2, you know that Paul is correcting the false doctrine of the Judaizers that have brought in that say you have to have good works plus faith in God to go to heaven. And we know that good works never got anybody to heaven, nor will it ever get anybody to heaven. Hallelujah. Good works are a product of knowing Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. But they are not have anything to do with getting saved. Amen. That's why the Bible says there's not a good man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Not a just man upon the earth doeth good and sinneth not. And so as Paul writes to the believers in Galatia, you'll understand what he's saying here, because they were talking about circumcision. They're talking about the works of the law. So read with me in chapter number 2, verse number 1. It says, then 14 years after, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. And I went up by revelation and communicated with them that the gospel which I preached among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. I mean, Titus didn't need to be circumcised, but they did circumcise him so that the Jews wouldn't be offended. Notice what it goes on to say, but neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, who was compelled to be circumcised, and that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the, here it is, the truth of the gospel might continue with you. But of these who seem to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me. God accepteth no man's person. For they who seem to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. But contrariwise, when they saw the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter, for he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, that's the Jews, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. When James and Cephas and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision, the Jews. It says, only they would that we should remember the poor, and the same which I was also forward to do. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them that were of the circumcision. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. I mean, even Barnabas separated himself for the Gentiles. And he was a minister to the Gentiles. He said, because of the fear of the Jews, he said, I'm not going to eat with them unclean Gentiles. But he's been eating with them all along. You see how religion can get you carried away? Man, we got enough religion. Man, we need some real relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm sick to death of religion. I'm telling you I am. And so is Jesus Christ. And the Bible says in verse number 14, but when I saw they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter and before them all, if thou being a Jew livest after the manner of the Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? We who are of the Jews by nature are not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that here it is that a man is not justified by the works of the law. You are not declared guiltless by the works of the law. All the law ever did was condemn us. The law condemns us. The law tells us we're a sinners. It was a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. Paul went on to say, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified, declared guiltless by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. Hey, the Old Testament law was good, but it doesn't remove sin. It convicts of sin. For through the law, I am dead to the law that I might live unto God. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness can't come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Now in verse 5 and in verse 14, Paul says the same thing. And here's what he says. It says, to whom we gave place not by subjection, no, not for the hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. And that's what I'm preaching on this morning, the truth of the gospel. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I do pray you'd bless it. And I pray that the truth of the gospel would shine forth this morning. And Lord, the devil's blinded people to the truth of the gospel. The Bible says, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the gospel of Christ, the glorious gospel of Christ, should shine in them that they should be saved. And God, the truth of the gospel is what this world needs today, the gospel truth. Bless the word and help me to bring it in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning as I preach on this thought, the gospel, the truth of the gospel, or the gospel truth, many will say, well, Brother Chris, just like Pilate, what is truth? Can I tell you what truth is? It's anything that's not a lie. It's anything that's not a lie. We live in such a self-deceived generation that they believe their own lies. And it's sad. I hear them say, I'm a good person, and they know they're rotten to the core. They cuss and smoke and drink and fornicate. I mean, they do every rotten thing. They steal, they lie, and then they say, Brother Chris, I'm such a good person. Who you think you're fooling? I mean, you got to be kidding me. The most evil person I know is me. And if you can't say the same thing, you're dishonest. Because you know what you think about every second of the day. And you know what you're capable of. And it's the glorious gospel of Christ that makes me what I am, if that's anything. But without Christ, I am nothing. The Bible says, if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he hath deceived himself. People say, well, I'm going to be the first in line in heaven. Are you? I would never have enough audacity to say that. I mean, what is wrong with people? I can hear them say, well, I've never done anything wrong. That's why I want to fall down laughing. When you think about, I mean, you've got to be kidding me. John 8:32 says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You know what I'm about? I'm about the truth. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man come to the Father but by me. Can I say this when it comes to truth? Truth is not subjective. It's not subjective to position or point of view. No matter how you look at it, 2 + 2 = 4. That is a truth. That is a law. That is unchanging. And no matter what alternative set of facts you have, that doesn't change. No matter what your vantage point or your viewpoint is, you can do 2 + 2 like this, you can do 2 + 2 like this, you can do 2 + 2 like this, but it all equals 4. It's not subjective. It's stationary. It is settled. Can I tell you, the gospel of Jesus Christ was settled 2,000 years ago. and it's not subjective to your point of view. It is stationary, and it is unchanging. And no matter what you think or I think or anyone thinks, that is settled in the eyes of God. Psalms 100 says in verse number 5, the psalmist said, "The Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations." The truth of the gospel will endure through all generations. What will the 144,000 preach during the Great Tribulation? The everlasting gospel. The truth of the gospel. And billions will come to Christ under their preaching. You say, why? Because the truth of the gospel is everlasting. The everlasting gospel. The truth. The gospel truth. Would to God we could speak the gospel truth. What is truth? Anything that's not a lie. It's the gospel. Can I say this? It's the way and the only way to worship God. John 4:24 says, "God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth." You know, so many people come to church and they're living a lie. And they wonder why they can't worship God. You can only worship God in spirit and truth. And if we would take care of our sin before we got to the house of God, maybe we could worship in spirit and truth. Hey, you got to take care of your sin. And then you can worship God and be filled with the Spirit. Then instead of saying, "Oh me," you can say amen and hallelujah and have a great time in the house of God. You see, it's without pretense and it's without condition. You don't have to fake it when you got the real thing. And man, we got a lot of professional actors in the day in which we live. Man, they're smiling, but they're dying on the inside. Not only is it what truth is, the gospel, and the only way to worship God, and the way to worship God is in spirit and truth, but where do you find it? It's in His Word. Why do you think we harp on that all the time? John 17:17, "Sanctify them to thy truth. Thy word is truth." You know what this Bible does? It tells us about ourselves. It tells us who we are, what we are, where we came from, and where we're going. Thank God for Psalms 19. Man, I quote it all the time. I've memorized it long ago. And when I think of this verse throughout the day, these verses, and it has an impact upon my heart as I go through the day. And notice what it says in Psalms 19. I can quote it, but I want you to see it this morning. Verse number 7, it says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb. And moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from my secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins, and let them not have dominion," that's power, "and rule over me, that I should be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in my sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." Man, we get that word of God in us, we'll get some of that sin out of us. The problem is the world, the flesh, and the devil have done their best to turn the truth of God into a lie. Especially the truth of the gospel. You say, what is the gospel? It's the good news of Jesus Christ. That He suffered and bled and died and rose again the third day. You find that clearly in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 to 5. It's what Paul preached. It's what the apostles preached. It's what's been preached for the last 2,000 years. That Christ suffered and bled and died for our sins on the cross of Calvary that we might be saved. And that He rose again on the third day. And then He ascended into heaven. Now, there's three things I want to look at when it comes to the truth of the gospel. And the first thing is this, is the substance of the gospel. The substance of the gospel. Verse 16 sums it up so perfectly, where it says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Doesn't that kind of sum it up? We're not saved by good works. We're saved by the faith of Jesus Christ. Thank God that we are. Romans 1:16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." It's believing in the gospel truth. Romans 10 says in verse 8, "What saith that the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and thine heart, the word of faith that we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For the heart man believeth unto righteousness, but the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Verse 13 says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You know what the problem is? People got it here, but they don't got it here. One of the little kids prayed in the room the other day with Brother Eddie and I told him, I looked at him and said, "You know what your problem is? You know what to say. And you know what to do. And it's fake as a $3 bill. Because it's all right here and there's nothing right here." My father-in-law used to pray for his brother Cecil. And Cecil would pray and pray and pray. He must have prayed 2,000 times. And Dad Dunbar would pray with him. He said, "Cecil, are you saved?" He said, "Nope, I'm still going to hell." One day, Cecil called up, and he was in tears. He said, "Jim," he said, "I know you got saved, right?" He said, "I really got saved." Can I tell you something? You cannot get saved until God speaks to your heart. You don't get to heaven by saying words. That's easy believism. You get to heaven by being born again, gloriously born again. And there's a difference between those two things. And if you ever get born again or have been born again, you'll know the difference. We prayed with a guy one time in Loveland. And every time we prayed with him, we spent an hour. And he prayed five times while we were praying with him. And every time Brother Vic would ask him, "Were you saved, going to heaven? Where would you go if you died?" He said, "I'd go straight to hell." Can I tell you why? There was no conviction. Let me tell you, you can't get saved unless God's speaking to you. And you can so offend God that he quit speaking to you. A man told Brother Homer one time, he begged with him, pleaded with him to get saved. He says, "No, I have sinned away my day of grace." And they left the house that day, and the guy asked, he said, "Brother Homer, is that even possible for a man to sin away his day of grace?" And he says, "I've never seen it before, but this man might be the exception. When he died, he wanted his feet, he had his feet in buckets of ice. He said, 'I'm on fire, I'm on fire, I'm on fire. Put the fire out.' And he died and went to hell." You say, what'd he do? He sinned away his day of grace. God had spoken to him, and he said no, and then God wasn't speaking to him. The worst thing that ever happened to a person is when the silence of God. That's a hard truth. Who can hear it? But we need to hear it. The substance of the gospel is faith in Jesus Christ. The faith of Jesus Christ. Say, what are we saved from? Saved from what? The penalty of sin. The wages of sin is death. The penalty of sin. Wherefore by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin. So death hath passed upon all men that all sin. Sin kills everybody and everything. Whether you're saved or whether you're a sinner, sin kills. I've seen sin kill Christian people in their life. Sin kills everyone. It'll kill your relationship with God. It'll kill your relationship with your husband and wife. It'll kill your relationship with your children. It'll kill your relationship with your mother and father. And it's all sad because Jesus said in John 11, Jesus said, "There I am, the resurrection of life. He that believeth in me, though we were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? I do." Eternal life is based on faith in God and nothing else. He saved us from the penalty of sin, the power of sin. That's why he said in John 8:32, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And he said, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." That law of bondage. Free from the law of bondage, the chains of sin. We've always said, and it's true, the chains of sin are too weak to be felt until too strong to be broken. That's why Paul said, "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I." That's what he said. He says in verse number 20, he says, "Yet not I, but Christ live within me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." Christ can break the law of bondage. We do not have to be a servant to sin, and yet so many are. A servant to sin. The gospel can break the cycle of sin. A skeptic said, "How could Christ change the water in the wine? The same way he changed whiskey into a loving home. The same way he changed drugs into a house payment. The same way he changed cigarette into clothes and food for children. He delivers people from sin." You say, "How fast did he do it?" That fast, instantly. When God breaks the chains of addiction, and he can break them, then there's a new person. When God breaks the chains of satanic oppression, instantly, the person becomes new. The law of bondage, the load of sin. That's why he said, "Come now and..." Matthew chapter 11, he said, "Come unto me, all that labor heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Man, when you can lay those things on the shoulder of Jesus. And Pilgrim's Progress, I mean, when that bondage, as he goes up Mount Calvary's hill, and that bond, that load of sin rolls off his back. That's why when someone gets saved, they say, "I feel so free. I feel so light." You say, why? Because all that's been taken away. You say, as a Christian, do you ever get under the load of sin? Of course we do. Do we get under the load of the cares of this life? Of course we do. Hey, there's all kind of burdens in this world. Health burdens, financial burdens, family, situational burdens. I mean, you name it, there are burdens. Man, but when you lay them things down at Jesus' feet, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. The truth of the gospel. The truth of the law and the commandments. 613 commandments. I mean, how in the world could we ever keep all of those commandments? How in the world could we ever be good enough to get into heaven on our own merit? It was impossible. That's why in Colossians, Paul said this in chapter number 2 and verse number 10. He said, "And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who have raised him from the dead, and you being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, have he quickened, made alive, together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinance that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show them openly, triumphing over them in it." Man, he took all those things and nailed it to the cross. He said, "Now you're free in me." Thank God. You know, when Christ set me free from alcohol, that was such a great thing. When he set me free from tobacco, that was such a great thing. Can I tell you, when he set me free from pornography, God help us, that was the greatest thing. You know how steeped in pornography our country is? And it's why we have human trafficking, because these perverts cannot be satisfied. Their lust is insatiable. And when you go down the road of pornography, let me tell you, that is a dark, filthy, dirty road that takes you to the lowest ebb of humanity. And I can tell you, God delivered me from pornography. I was fed pornography from the time I was 5 years old. And I'll tell you right now, it mentally deranged my mind. And if it wasn't for the glory of Christ, who knows what a deviant I'd be today. And I'll tell you, those dark images are never erased. They're with me every second of every day. And at any given moment can be brought up by the devil. Because he's all about imagery and pictures. And if the internet is your playground, you're in the wrong place. If cable TV is your playground, you would be better to get rid of your television. And if you can't control this little thing here, you'd be better to have a flip phone. Because pornography is a stronghold, and it's gripping our nation. It's gripping our pulpits. And our Sunday school rooms. And it's gripping, it has gripped the capital of the United States of America. To the point that everything is sexualized in this nation. Now, if I'm kicking your little thing this morning, let me tell you, it needs kicked. It's a scourge on this nation. And it's why little boys and girls aren't safe anymore. As it was in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. Boy, we're here. Every child was abused in that city. And God can break the power of sin. The gospel can break the power of sin. And nothing else can break the power of sin like the gospel. The penalty of sin, the power of sin, the presence of sin. Thank God my past has been redeemed. You wouldn't even know about it if I didn't tell you about it. Hallelujah. It was cast in the sea of God's forgetfulness. Amen. As far as the east is from the west. We sang that song. Thank God I've been cleansed. I've been changed. My past has been redeemed and my present has been restored. Glory to God, I'm not what I was. And I don't have to live in the shadows of the darkness of my sin. Therefore, may man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Man, when I think about what God did for me, and I think about that's what I am in his presence, I can just get out of it. Because that is not, in my mind, what I am. I'm that filthy, dirty, rotten, unworthy, hell-bent sinner. But when I think about what God did for me, I said, how in the world did I ever get there? How in the world did I ever get to that place where I'm clean? All I can say is glory to God. Glory to God. He brought me out of that horrible pit and out of the miry clay, set my feet upon a rock and established my going, put a new song in my heart, even praise unto God. People say, are you sure you're a preacher? I say, yeah, I'm a preacher. My friends from my past life. They can't even believe that I'm a child of the King. Glory to God, I'm a child of the King. Thank God my future's been reserved. Hallelujah. Reserved in heaven. The Bible says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, and reserved in heaven for you. Hey, Sean went to meet the Lord. And his reservation is complete. Charles Russell, Brother Charles Russell, went to meet the Lord this morning and his reservation is complete. I guarantee you at the end, when I come to my end, I'm not going to be asking for another day. I'm going to be asking, even so come Lord Jesus. Hey, I want my reservation, amen. Hallelujah. The substance of the gospel, the scope of the gospel. Aren't you glad in Romans 10:13 says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved? Anyone, everyone, child, adult, old person, good, bad, ugly, beautiful, rich, poor, wise, ignorant, religious, heathen. Inclusive of all. No bounds, no limitation, no social standing, no economic standing, no degree of sinfulness. Because no matter how far my sin went, grace went a little farther. Amen. But faith has to be in Christ. A man said this, the gospel goes where you and I would not. And that's to all men. I see people, in my mind, there's no way if I was God, I would give them everlasting life. I mean, really, would you have given everlasting life to the Apostle Paul if you lived in his day? And after he got done murdering your wife or your son or your daughter or your husband, and after he got done torturing them, do you think for one second that you'd have offered salvation to him? Yet the Bible says he was a chosen vessel from the beginning. And that's why Paul knew what he was. And that's why he said, I am the chiefest of sinners. The lowliest of all Christian people. But thank God, God even saved the Apostle Paul. When I think of the scope of the gospel, what he's able to do, and God saving people that we would not, we're like the Marines, kill them all and let God sort it out. Right? I mean, if I had my way, we'd drop a nuclear bomb on Afghanistan. And we'd drop a nuclear bomb on Iran and North Korea, hallelujah, and China and the whole bunch of them. Aren't you glad I'm not president? It would be nuclear Armageddon. I'd be saying like Ronald Reagan, make my day. But see, God loves in a deeper way than we love. You say, why don't you have that love? Because I didn't make them. God made these people. And they're his creation and he loves them. With a love that you and I cannot understand. Brother Eddie was preaching, talking about that some people, their situation is beyond the love that we have, that we're capable of. And that's true. God's love goes beyond what we're capable of. There's people that God saves and gives everlasting life to that we are incapable of loving them. But I'm glad that he does this morning. And I'm glad John 3:16 is in the Bible. For God so loved the world that gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. People in Afghanistan, Iraq, Indonesia, North Korea, Africa, India, Turkey, Somalia. Thank God, Thank God, the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Mark 16:15 says, go ye in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. When I think about them Al-Shabaab people over there in Somalia, and they're ruthless and they're bitter, and they're, I mean, there is no depth of depravity that they can't go to. And yet God loves their soul. The last thing is this, the simplicity of the gospel. You know, people complicate and confuse the gospel like you wouldn't believe. Romans 10:13 couldn't be any simpler. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It could not be any simpler. People say, is it that easy? Of course it's that easy. God is not the author of confusion. God's the author of simplicity. Can I say this? It's as simple as becoming a child. Jesus said in Matthew 18, at the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you be converted and become as a little child, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. It's as simple as becoming a little child. You say, why? Because children have faith. They believe everything. They have a believing heart. They can touch the power of God when you and I cannot, because they believe. You need some serious prayers answered? You ask them little 4, 5, 6-year-old kids to pray for you and something might happen from heaven, because they believe when you can't. They can believe in Jesus. Little kid tells you, I'm going to see Jesus. You better believe him. Because they know something you don't. And they have a relationship that you probably don't. It's as simple as becoming a child. It's as simple as believing from the heart. That's why it says, with the heart man believeth unto salvation. It's as simply as opening the door. Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man open unto me, I will come into him and sup with him, and we will have communion one with another. As simple as opening the door. The story of the portrait of a man, Jesus standing at the door and knocking, and a man on the other side. And the young boy said, Daddy, Daddy, what is the man doing? What is the man doing? He says, he's knocking on the door. And he said, Daddy, Daddy, why won't he open the door? Daddy said to his wife, he says, honey, get this child out of here. I cannot tolerate his questions. But Daddy, why won't he open the door? Daddy went in the room by himself and he thought and he thought and he thought. And was under such great conviction of his son, saying, Daddy, why won't he open the door? Daddy, why won't he open the door? You know what the problem was? Daddy wouldn't open the door. Daddy got gloriously saved from just looking at a picture of Jesus standing at the door and a little boy asking, Daddy, why won't he open the door? Daddy, why won't he open the door? Well, won't somebody open the door and let Jesus in? People think the gospel's hard. No, it's simple. Simplicity of the gospel. Becoming as a child. Believing from the heart, opening a door. Confessing with the mouth. Remember when them two went up to the temple to pray, a Pharisee and a publican, the Pharisee prayed with himself, I thank God I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, this, that, and the other thing. And the Samaritan wouldn't even look up to heaven. He smote his breast and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. It's as simple as admitting what you are. That's half the battle. See yourself in the need of God's help and forgiveness. And then you can get it. It's private from the heart. It's personal. No one can do it for you. I wish I could get saved for people. And then what Paul said, I wish I could be a curse for my brethren, the nation of Israel. Paul couldn't get saved for his brethren. He couldn't go to hell for his brethren. You can't either. It's public. No shame in it. If we confess before men, I'll confess you before my Father which is in heaven. But who shall deny me before men? Him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. When people say, hey, I say, you really get saved? You come forward and make it public. Amen. Oh, I can't do that. You know, I got saved and I wanted everybody to know. I wanted to make it public. There's people get saved in these countries and they say, shh, keep it a secret because it's illegal to be a Christian, and they cannot keep it secret. They must tell that they believed in Jesus Christ. And then they're put to death by their family and the government. And they become martyrs for their faith. You cannot keep secret when God's gloriously born again. You've been born again in your heart. You want to tell somebody. You want to get baptized. I worry about these people that don't want to follow the Lord and believers' baptism. I said, what is the problem here? I got saved and I wanted to go to church and tell somebody, and I did. Second time I went, I wasn't there a few months and I said, hey, I want to get baptized. They didn't preach on baptism. They didn't say nothing about baptism, but I knew, I saw there was a baptistry up there and I saw the picture and I said, hey, what if hinder me to get baptized? And I followed the Lord and believers' baptism 3 months later in freezing cold water. In Yankee land. You don't know what cold water is till you get baptized in the month of February and March when it's, you know, 10 below zero outside. And there ain't a heater in the baptistry and they don't heat the church up just enough to keep the pipe from freezing. It'd take your breath away. It took the preacher's breath away and he had on waders. But it was glorious. He said, did that take your breath away? I said, hallelujah. I was shouting, glory to God. Hallelujah anyhow. And I felt so good because I had obeyed the Lord. We should want to let the world know what Christ has done for you. But has the truth of the gospel penetrate it and permeate it, your heart and soul? Are you living the truth of the gospel? Or are you just living a lie? Think about how many people in this country are living a lie this morning. Everything about them is fake. You say, Brother Christian, are you trying to say you know something about me? I don't know anything about you. But the Holy Ghost does. Thank God for real Christianity. But if all you got is fake Christianity, and that's what a lot of America has this morning, and they're living a lie. Well, I'm a Christian. And look at all they're doing. I love Jesus Christ. And then they're doing all that wickedness. And they can't make it to the house of God. And yet they profess, the Bible says, that they know God, but in works they deny Him. And then they wonder why there's always a question mark. I hate when people die and they leave a question mark. And you don't know what to say. Because they leave such a question mark on their life. You say, what do you do? I said, what can I do? Hey, when I preach those funerals, I don't even mention the deceased. Because I don't know where they are, and you don't either. Now, thank God when people got a testimony of salvation. I've asked Brother Sean many times, I said, Brother Chris, I'm saved and I know I'm going to heaven. Glory to God. Charles Russell. Brother Charles said, yeah, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. Amen. But I'm telling you, it ain't like that for everybody. And you can pretend all your life, but you can't pretend when Judgment Day comes. The truth will manifest itself. The truth of the gospel. You're living the truth or you're living a lie. I wasn't looking in your windows this week. I wasn't checking your Facebook account. I don't know anything about anybody and their personal life unless they personally share it. I'd like to think everyone in this building is living a godly Christian life every day of the week. But I'd be a fool to believe that. You know what your life is. But if you could just be honest with God and yourself, that'd solve all your problems. Let's stand for prayer. I'm going to pray this morning as our musicians come, Brother Doug comes. And I ask you, when it comes to the truth of the gospel, are you living the truth or are you living a lie? Are you the real thing or are you just pretending? Your life filled with sin or is it filled with righteousness? Hey, this Christian life is a serious business. You know what? If God was speaking to my heart, I'd want to do something about it. If I felt that conviction of the Holy Ghost, I'd want to bow my head and bend my knee and say, God, I'm sorry. I need to take care of some things in my life. And God, I need to come clean with you. You say, Brother Chris, do you do that? I do that every day. Amen. Or I wouldn't be able to stand behind this pulpit.
Amen.
Because I sin just like you do. And when I sin, God tells me about it immediately. And says, I want you to take care of that right now. And I feel that horrible conviction. And I tell God I'm sorry. And when I come to pray at the end of the night, if I haven't taken care of something, God's telling me all about it. And I try and take care of it. But if you haven't taken care of something this morning, you should be taking care of it. And if you don't know Jesus Christ in a real way this morning, you really should be taking care of that.